Shalom and welcome. So glad you have chosen to join us here at Lots of Love Ministries as we continue our study on the names of the one true God. As we began this journey, we saw God as Bore, our creator, and Elohim, the mighty one who shaped the universe and still cares for us. Then we kept building on that foundation and met God as El Elyon and El Olam. Last week, we met him as El Shaddai and El Roy. If you weren't here, those are on my website. You can go back and listen to those teachings. My website is lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. So today, as we continue the journey, we will meet God as the one true God, Yahweh, Adonai, and Echad. Before we jump into the lesson, though, let's open with prayer. Abba, Father, we come before you today with open hearts and expectant spirits. Reveal yourself to us as the one true God. Help us to know you, not just about you, but to truly know you by your name. Guide our minds, soften our hearts, and let your spirit teach us what it means to call on Yahweh, to trust in your covenant faithfulness, and to rest in your oneness. In Yeshua's name, amen. Have you ever noticed how a name can change a relationship? When someone calls you by your first name, it's personal. It matters. That's why I tell people when I introduce myself, my name is Miri, rhymes with Siri, not Mary, like the mother of Jesus. It's Miri, like Siri. I like my name. It means fire. And my middle name is Elise, meaning belonging to God. So my name, Miri Elise, means fire belonging to God. And when people don't pronounce it correctly, they assign a wrong interpretation to my name. They're not talking to me. So I get a little ticked sometimes when people have a hard time pronouncing my name correctly and they want to assign a wrong name to me. But in scripture, God reveals himself through many names. And today we're going to focus on two that anchor our faith, Yahweh, or Adonai, and Echad. These names aren't just titles. They are invitations. They pull us close, show us who God truly is, and shape how we live and trust him. Let's look at these names and let them speak to our hearts. In Exodus 3:13-15, and I'm reading from the Tree of Life version, God answered Moses, "I am who I am." Then he said, "You are to say to B'nai Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "You are to say to B'nai Israel, 'Adonai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and the name by which I should be remembered from generation to generation.'" Moses stood before the burning bush, afraid and unsure. He asked, "What is your name?" God replied, "I am who I am." In Hebrew, Eya Asher Eya. This is the root of Yahweh, the covenant name of God. Out of reverence, Jewish people say Adonai when reading Yahweh, meaning Lord. What does this mean? It means God is self-existent. He depends on nothing and no one. God is ever-present. He's not trapped by time or circumstance. God is faithful to his covenant. He promised to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's still with us today. There have been times in my own life, seasons of uncertainty, mistakes, and financial struggle, when I didn't know where provision would come from. Yet Yahweh, the I Am, was there. Even when I wondered, he remained faithful. I can look back and see his hand caring for me, providing what I needed, and never abandoning me, because his name is a promise. I am with you. 1 Samuel 12:22 tells us, "For Adonai will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased Adonai to make you a people for himself." This verse comes at a pivotal moment in Israel's story. People have just asked for a king, essentially rejecting God's direct rule. Samuel, God's prophet, is addressing their fear and regret over this decision. He assures them, even when you make mistakes, even when you turn away, Adonai will not forsake you. You know, Samuel was kind of upset with them for wanting a king, because he recognized that the great I am, Yahweh, was their king, and they were rejecting him. And God even told him, "Don't be angry, Samuel. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." But he tried to encourage them and warn them about what having a king would mean. Why? Because Adonai will not forsake them, even if they got a king other than Yahweh. Not because Israel earned it or deserved it, but for his great name's sake. God has tied his own reputation and glory to his promise. The name Yahweh is a covenant name. It carries the weight of God's unbreakable commitment to his people. This is a huge comfort. God's faithfulness isn't based on our performance, but on his character, on his name. When you belong to him, his commitment to you is unshakable. Even if you stumble, God's loyalty holds. He made you his own, and he keeps his promises for the sake of his name. When he made the covenant first with Abraham, he said, "I will make sure this covenant holds." He made it based on his name and who he is. Because Abraham's like, "How can I keep this covenant?" God said, "Don't worry, I'll make it with you, and I will make sure it stands." And he did. Maybe you've had times like I have when you wondered if you'd finally messed up too much. But even when you fall, God's love doesn't let go. His faithfulness is rooted not in your faithfulness, but in who he is, Yahweh, the God who keeps covenant forever. Isn't that encouraging? Because I know I've made a lot of mistakes, and I haven't always been as faithful as I should have. But just because God is faithful when we're not doesn't mean we should be faithful. We should do our best to be faithful. Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man who lies, or a son of man who changes his mind. This verse comes from the story of Balaam, the prophet hired to curse Israel. Over and over he tries and fails, because God's blessing cannot be reversed. Balaam declares this profound truth: God is not fickle or deceitful like people can be. He doesn't say one thing and do another. He doesn't change his mind or go back on his word. This ties right back to God's name, Yahweh. I am who I am. God's character is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he speaks a promise, you can count on it, no matter what circumstances look like. And I'm hearing some of you say, "But what about Hezekiah, who he said, 'Get your house in order, tonight you're going to die.'" And Hezekiah cried, "Oh, please give me time, more time." And he relented and changed his mind and gave him 15 more years. That doesn't contradict God's character and who he is. And so that wasn't a promise. It was a warning. But he was merciful. So it's a little bit different. I hope you understand that. So, but there have been moments in my life when I doubted God's promises, when circumstances didn't line up with what I believed God had said. I wondered if maybe God had changed his mind about me. But he doesn't. He can't. His word stands even when everything else feels shaky. His faithfulness remains. Great is his faithfulness, because it's who he is. And I love to sing worship songs to him about his faithfulness, because he has been so faithful to me. I hope he's been faithful to you too. I'm sure he has. And what I'm saying really is, do you recognize that he's been faithful to you? Even when he says no, something you really want, he's being faithful to you because he's protecting you. A lot of times his no is the best answer because it's for your protection. But be thankful for the no's as well as the yeses. But both these verses, 1 Samuel 12:22 and Numbers 23:19, remind us that the name of the Lord, Yahweh, Adonai, is a guarantee. He won't forsake you, not because of you, but because of who he is. He won't break his word because he is truth itself. That's the security and hope we have in the one true God. God comes from one of the foundational verses of this ministry. Hear, O Israel, Adonai our God, Adonai is one. This is the Shema, the heartbeat of biblical faith. The word Echad means one, and it's not just mathematical oneness. It means unity and uniqueness. There is no other like him. In a world full of options, other gods, other sources of hope, God says, I alone am God. I am undivided. I'm not one among many. I am the one. Isaiah 45:5 tells us, I am Adonai, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. This declaration comes from a section where God, through the prophet Isaiah, is speaking directly to Cyrus, a Persian king who doesn't even know God, but whom God will use for his purposes. Throughout Isaiah 45, God emphatically repeats that he alone is God, not one among many, not the best of a group, but the only one who exists. This statement is like a line drawn in the sand. There are no rivals, no alternates, no competitors. Adonai. Every so-called God, idol, or power apart from him is empty and powerless. Why does this matter? In ancient times, and honestly even now, people are tempted to hedge their bets by worshiping multiple gods. But God says, there's no plan B. There is no backup. I alone am God. That means our trust can be total. There's no need to look anywhere else for hope, security, identity, or salvation. I know I've sometimes looked to other things, money, approval, control, for security. But every time those things let me down, it's a reminder, only Adonai is God. Only he can hold me up and never fail. Amen. Isaiah 43:10 says, you are my witnesses. It is a declaration of Adonai and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, and there will be none after me. And if you don't get that, get my book, Isaiah 43:10, the title of the book, based on this verse and others. It's on my website for sale as an ebook, and on Amazon, you can find it there too, and you can get it as a paperback. So if you get that book that I wrote, Isaiah 43:10, it will help you understand this verse and how God is one. He is Echad. Here, God is speaking to Israel, reminding them of their role as his chosen witnesses to the world. He wants his people to know, believe, and understand, not just with their heads, but with their hearts and lives, that he alone is God. Before me, no God was formed. He has no origin, no beginning. He isn't created or invented by humans. He's eternal. There will be none after me. There's no succession plan. No one who will come along and take his place. This is a profound and sensitive theological point that's at the heart of the Shema. Adonai is one. And yet for many, the language of father and son in the New Testament can sound as if there's some sort of succession or changing of the guard in God's rule. But the clear testimony of Scripture, both in the Tanakh, which means Old Testament, and the New Covenant, or New Testament, is that Yahweh is eternally one, and Yeshua is the living, visible revelation of that one God. Not a second God, not an heir waiting for the throne. Let me explain this clearly and faithfully, planting it deep in your spirits. The oneness of God is not a successive, simultaneous on the throne. Scripture is emphatic. Before me, no God was formed, and there will be none after me. God is not like human kings who die and leave their kingdom to an heir. There's no passing of the torch in heaven. No one comes after Yahweh. He is eternally on the throne. The New Testament affirms this unity, not division. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. And for in him all fullness of deity dwells bodily. That's Colossians 1, 15 through 16 and Colossians 2, 9. I and the Father are one, John 10, 30. Yeshua did not replace the Father. He reveals the Father. He is the Word made flesh, according to John 1, 1 and 14. When people saw Yeshua, they saw the Father's and his heart, his character, his authority in human form. Think of it like this. When you look in the mirror, you see your reflection. It's not another you over there on the other side of that mirror. It's you. And there's only one you. Yeshua is the mirror reflection, is the reflection of Father. If you see Yeshua, you're seeing the Father. Because Yeshua and the Father are one. And he's the image of the invisible God. A reflection of the mirror is just an image of yourself. That makes sense? Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, shows not two or three thrones, but one throne and one name. Then the angel showed me a river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. It's Revelation 22, 1 through 4. Did you get that? Did you notice the throne of God and of the Lamb? Because the Lamb, who is Yeshua, is God. It's not two thrones. Not God retiring and the Son taking over. It's the same throne. The same name. Yeshua is not a second lesser deity nor a successor. He is the same Yahweh revealed in the flesh. Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, Adonai our God, Adonai is one, Echad, is a foundation that we must stand on. We don't worship multiple gods. We worship one God, the one true God. The Hebrew word echad means united one or a composite unity, not a solitary, isolated singularity, but a complex unity, like one cluster of grapes. God is not divided or sequential. If you take the grape off of the cluster, then it's a grape. And then you can take them all off the cluster, then you have many gods or many grapes, right? But that's all right. He remains the cluster. I like to say like a diamond. And it's has many facets. A many faceted diamond. But I know our minds can have a hard time grasping this, especially with the language used in the New Testament, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the word Trinity doesn't really appear in the Bible, but people have used that word to describe Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But then it gets confusing, and then people begin to think that we worship three gods. We don't. We worship one God. When I clearly lay this out and explain it in the book Isaiah 43:10. So Father, Son, which is also the word, and Spirit are not separate gods or a chain of command. They are one true God revealed in different ways, but always one. How to plant this deeply in your heart? God never abdicates his throne. There is no succession, no passing of authority. Yeshua is not the heir in the sense of taking over after the Father steps down. He is the Father's word, presence, and glory made visible for us. When it says that he is the heir and we are co-heirs, that means we get to inherit or grasp and enjoy all the fullness of what God has for us. We get to be a part of what he is and who he is and what he has. Not that we take over. We're not going to be taking over. We're going to be co-participants. When we worship Yeshua, we are worshiping the one true God. There is only one on the throne, Yahweh, who is, who was, and who is to come. That's in Revelation 1:8. And Yeshua is that one. Because when you read in Revelations, who's the one coming? It's Yeshua, the Lamb. And we'll get more into that in a future lesson when we dig deeper into knowing God as Yeshua. So you might use an analogy, although all analogies fall short of the mystery. When the sun shines through a window and warms your face, you aren't experiencing a second sun. You're experiencing the one sun revealed to you in a way you can feel and see. Yeshua is not another God, but the one true God stepping into our world so we can know him, so we can experience him with all our five natural senses. So let me summarize it. There will be none after me means God does not retire, does not delegate his throne, and does not share his identity. Yeshua is the one true God, Yahweh, manifested in flesh, not a replacement, not a successor, but the eternal Lord always on the throne. God calls his people witnesses to this truth. That's what I'm doing today. I'm witnessing to the truth that there's only one God. Our lives, our stories are meant to point to the reality that he alone is God. We're called to know him deeply, trust him wholly, and help others encounter his uniqueness. That is the purpose of this series, to get to know him deeply through who he has revealed himself to be in all his names. When I look back at my own journey, times when God provided, guided, forgave, and restored me, I realize these are the witness stories that point to the reality of the one true God. He's not a theory or idea. He's alive, active, and unrivaled in my life. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my friend. Hallelujah. These two verses from Isaiah comfort us with the core truth of God's identity as Echad, I'm sorry, as Echad, the one and only. There is no other source you need to run to, no other God before him, and none will come after. Your life is living proof, a witness of his faithfulness and uniqueness. Knowing this brings freedom. You don't have to chase after empty things. God alone is enough, and you are his witness to that truth. So, how should we respond to this truth? Well, trust in his faithfulness. If he is Yahweh, the I am, he is present in every moment of your life, past, present, and future. Even in your mistakes, he doesn't abandon you. He is the God who sees, who cares, and provides. Worship him alone. If God is Yahad, one and only, then our loyalty cannot be divided. Lay down idols of self, money, approval, or fear. He alone is worthy of our worship. Live confidently in his presence. When you know him by name, you can walk with assurance. He is not far off. He is with you, for you, and will never leave you. There were moments when I questioned if I'd ever have enough faith, enough resources, enough hope. Every time God showed up, sometimes it wasn't how I expected, but his faithfulness was always there. Provision for bills, comfort in loss, guidance in confusion. He didn't just provide, he made himself known to me. So let's make these decrees and declarations. We're going to plant them deep in our spirits, these truths, and make these decrees and declarations together with me. I decree that Yahweh is my God, my ever-present help, my provider and sustainer. I declare that Adonai is faithful, even when I am faithless. I decree that there is no other God but you, Yahad. You alone are worthy of my worship and trust. I declare that in every area of my life, the name of the Lord will be exalted. I decree that I am not alone. The great I am walks with me today and every day. I declare that I am his witness and commit to doing my part to bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven, that his will may be done in and through me. Amen. As we close, pray this prayer with me. Adonai, you are the great I am. There is no one like you. Thank you for your faithfulness to me. When I doubted, when I wondered, you were there and faithful. Thank you for providing, caring, and never letting go. Help me to rest in your oneness and trust you with all that I am. Teach me to worship you alone, to trust your name, and to walk in the confidence that only comes from knowing Yahweh. In Yeshua's name, amen. But remember, God didn't just reveal his name to Moses, he's revealing it to you too. The same God who called Moses calls you by name. He is with you, he is for you, and he is enough. Call on his name. This week, let Yahweh, the one true God, be the center of your life and bring shalom to your home.